praise the Lord that we can gather around worship Him and sing praises to Him and listen to His Word. It's always a wonderful time. This morning, I want to share on the topic that you can have. You can use different words to describe it. If you pay attention to the hymns that we just sang earlier, you'll see that there's one theme repeated in the hymns. Believing in Jesus, having faith in Jesus, trusting Him. I think these three terms are very similar, right? Having faith, believing, trusting, all the same thing. So this morning we want to think about this topic. I know that this is summertime. A lot of you, your study is now over. And many of you are thinking about finding jobs and so on. This topic of having faith in the Lord Jesus is very appropriate, not only appropriate to this time, but in our everyday life it's very appropriate. So today I'm not going to talk about something very high, very deep, you know, but something very simple. Brother and sister, you have to forgive me if I'm repeating something that you already know or you already heard about, but it's something that we should always be reminded about, believing in Jesus. And the Bible passages that I'm going to study with you together is also a very familiar passage. It's about Lazarus and his resurrection, which is in John chapter 11. When I talk about trusting, I know I owe Jesus an apology. I forgot to give her a ride this Friday. I feel so bad about it. I don't know how I could have forgotten. You know, I promised I'd give her a ride home, but I forgot. So did you have a way home? I'm sure you'd find a way home. Sorry about that. This week I've been so busy. You know, I have forgotten so many things. It's incredible, you know. Some of things, forgetting to give a teacher a ride, you can apologize. But other things, if you forget, there's a financial penalty, you know. So it's important. I almost forgot to file a notice of objection, you know, at my work. You know, we are talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know. So it's not a small matter that if I had forgotten about it, I'll be in big trouble. And somehow on Thursday, the lawyer called me up and just casually asking me, how is it going? You know, we should get together again. Then all of a sudden I remember it's still on Friday, you know, and I still haven't finalized it. So it's kind of a bad situation. But praise the Lord, I got the tax office closed at 5. So I walk over there at 4:45. It's already closed. They closed at 4:30. I couldn't believe it. Government office is closed at 4:30. I can't believe it, you know. So I have to immediately run to a post office, have it register mail, postmark, send it in, you know. So that solved my problem. But, you know, having faith in a person can be discouraging, you know, sometimes. But, you know, having faith in God is something that is very, very important. That, you know, we have to learn this lesson throughout our life. You will never be able to say that, oh, I have learned the lesson already. I will be trusting the Lord from now on forever. No, you don't. It's a lesson that we all learn every day. So let us turn to the Bible story in chapter 11 of John. Chapter 11 of John. It's a story that we all know very well. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, this family, right? Even if we don't read the Bible story, you know the facts, the background. You know, Lazarus was sick. Therefore, they sent someone to tell Jesus, because Jesus wasn't there, right? So they tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick. But the Bible story was kind of interesting. The Lord Jesus, when he heard this message, the Bible said he actually delayed for a couple more days before he started his journey back to Bethany. When he was at Bethany, we know that Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. But by the power of the Lord, Lazarus was raised up from death. So this is basically the backbone of the story. So we will go over this
Because the story is so familiar, sometimes we take it for granted. But I feel that, you know, in that story, you'll notice that this story is very long. It took a whole chapter of John, right, to describe. And there are a lot of details in this story that we can easily overlook. But if we pay more attention to it, I'm sure we can learn something altogether from this story. So, verse 1, okay, John chapter 11, verse 1, give us the background. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So it gives us the background that Lazarus was sick. He was sick in the town called Bethany. Bethany was very close to Jerusalem. It's a town where Jesus loves to visit. The reason why Jesus loves to visit this town is because of this family. The Bible said Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus loved this family very much, and whenever Jesus had a chance to visit Jerusalem, he usually stayed with this family. Even though it's quite a few miles away, the Lord Jesus, especially during the last week before Jesus was crucified, he spent a week in Jerusalem, but he never stayed overnight in Jerusalem. We believe that he usually went back to this family and stayed there for that last week. That's what we speculate. So you can see that Jesus and this family has a very close relationship, right? So when now there is a need in the family, one of the family member was sick. And where was Jesus at that time? Jesus was on the near River Jordan, where John the Baptist ministered there. Okay, it's not that far away, but still it's a distance away. It's some Bible scholar tell us it's around a couple of days of walking, a couple of days. So they said verse 3, brother and sister, verse 3, let's keep our Bible open, okay? So I will be referring back to the Bible from time to time. So verse 3, therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Okay? Now let's think about this event here. The Lord Jesus was quite far away from Bethany. So now there's a need in the family. One member of the family is sick. So obviously they need some help from the Lord Jesus, right? So they send someone to Jesus and make this statement. So the messenger said, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. That's all he said. Okay. So what do you think the sisters mean? What were they thinking? What were they hoping that Jesus would do when they make this statement to Jesus and said, Lord, the one you love is sick? What do you think? They didn't ask Jesus for anything, right? They didn't ask for anything. They're only making a statement. The statement is, Lord, the one you love is sick. So of course, Jesus knows that it's Lazarus. Right? So they didn't ask Jesus. So what do you think the message behind this statement? So you, when you hear something, sometimes we don't just listen to the words, but there is a message behind the words, right? So there must be some messages behind the words. They wouldn't just go tell Jesus, look, someone that you love is sick, right? Without hoping that Jesus would have some reaction. So what do you think they expect Jesus to do? Any suggestion? Any guess? What do they think? What do you think that Jesus, tell them, what do you think they want Jesus to do? Exactly, right? So it's very, very obvious, right? They wouldn't just tell Jesus someone is sick, right? So they hope that Jesus would do something about it. Right? If it were you and me, we would also hope that the Lord Jesus would come and do something, right, to help. So it's not unreasonable to ask, right? It's not unreasonable. So, brother and sister, let me ask you, do they have faith in Jesus? Do they have faith in Jesus? Obviously they do, right? If they don't have faith, why would they bother to tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick? So they do have faith in Jesus. They know about Jesus. They know Jesus, and Jesus stayed with them for a few times. So they know Jesus. They have faith in Jesus. Obviously, they do, right? So they tell Jesus, look, the one you love is sick. So hoping that the Lord will get the message, right, without saying it now, that the message is, Lord, come and help us. If you are here, you can heal our brother Lazarus, right? So that's the message behind it. So let us move on to ask. Let's think about the disciples. The Lord Jesus was with the disciples at River Jordan, right? Do you think that the disciples have faith in Jesus? The answer is very obvious, right? They must have faith in Jesus. If they don't have faith in Jesus, they wouldn't be following Jesus all these years, right? At least 3 years by now, almost 3 years, they've been following Jesus. So if they don't have faith in Jesus, they wouldn't follow him. So obviously, they have faith. So that's, okay, let's stop here for a little bit. We say that the two sisters, Mary and Martha, they have faith in Jesus. We also say that the disciples have faith in Jesus. They all have faith in Jesus, right? Agree? Right, okay. Let's pay attention to some of the things that happen. Let us try to read about the dialogue between the disciples and the Lord Jesus. And let's see if they have faith in Jesus. Verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 said, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Now, when Jesus said, let us go to Judea again, Judea is where Bethany is, right? So when the Lord Jesus said, let us go to Judea, what he meant was, let's go to Bethany, because now that the disciples know about Nazareth was sick, right? So the Lord Jesus said, let's go to Judea. So what was the response from the disciples? They said, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? So, I guess it's a polite way of saying no, right? It's a very polite way of saying no. Don't go. Aren't we in enough trouble already? You know, if you go there, the Jews will stone you. So let's stop and think about this. The Lord said, let's go to Judea. And they politely say no. We have to scratch our head, you know. Brother and sister, they have faith, right? We said they have faith in the Lord. Now when the Lord said, let's go to Judea, and they have this courage to say no to Jesus, it's something that is pretty unusual, right? Who would say no to the Lord Jesus? No one will say no to the Lord Jesus, right? But here, we see that the disciples say no to Jesus. That is very unusual. It's a very polite way of saying no, right? Why did they say no? Let's think about this. Why did they say no to Jesus? Not too many people say no to Jesus, but the disciples did say no, okay? So what do you think? Why did they say no to Jesus? Because the Jews want to stone Jesus, right? So the Jewish people want to kill Jesus. So in other words, Jesus said, let's go to Judea. They didn't hear it from the Lord. They didn't hear the message from the Lord. What they see is there is an obstacle. The obstacle is, look, there is a difficulty ahead of us. People will stone you if you go. So their concentration is on the difficulty, not on what the Lord tells them to. You see the difference? Yes, they have faith. But when the faith becomes something of a real challenge, a daily challenge, their faith becomes just a theory. It's just gone. Just disappear. Let's not laugh at the disciples, okay? Let's not laugh at them. If it were you and me, we probably will do the same thing. We'll say no. When Jesus said go, and we see, oh, there's a danger, then we say no, right? So, I think this is something that we can all learn, right? So often we say in our mouth that we have faith, and yet in action it proven that we don't really have the faith, brother and sister. Let's be honest. We are people of very little faith. We can say very high doctrine. We can say we have faith. But when there is difficulty ahead of us, very often we back down. And worse, we even deny the Lord Jesus. It's a very short two verses. Sometimes we laugh at the disciple saying no, but you know, we also have people with little faith. Well, let's move on, okay? Move on. See if we can learn something from it. And then Jesus continued to have a dialogue with the disciples, and then he told them that Lazarus was asleep. They thought that Jesus meant that he was resting in his bed, but then Jesus said to them, no. Verse 14. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now this is kind of very unusual reaction from Thomas. Very unusual reaction. The Lord Jesus told them, look, Lazarus is dead. Now there comes this reaction from Thomas, and probably the reaction of Thomas really represents the rest of his disciples. Let's go back a little bit in this story. So we know that when Lazarus was sick, the two sisters sent someone to Jesus and gave Jesus a message. Lord, the one that you love is sick. So we all agree that behind that message is hoping that Jesus will come and heal him, right? That's very normal. And then the Bible said Jesus delayed for two more days. And then he had this dialogue with the disciples and told them that, look, Lazarus is dead. Okay? Now, let's go think forward a little bit. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, the Bible told us that Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. Right? 4 days. We also know that the Lord Jesus had delayed for 2 days after he heard this message, right? 2 days. Now, if the walk between where Jesus was and Bethany was within 2 days, okay? Then let's make up 4 days, right? He delayed for 2 days, and then he started the journey coming back to Bethany another 2 days, right? So 4 days all gone, right? When he arrived at Bethany, then he knew that Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. So in other words, when the messenger came to Jesus and said to Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick. At the time when the messenger made that statement to the Lord Jesus, Lazarus most likely already dead. Right? If you count the days back, right? So most likely when the message arrived at where Jesus was, Lazarus would have been dead already. Okay? But the disciple didn't know. Jesus knew, but the disciple didn't know. Now, brother and sister, before Jesus got this message, I think you and I most likely will agree that Jesus already knew what's happening in Bethany. There's a need in Bethany, right? He doesn't need a messenger to come to tell him that there is a need in Bethany. So that is not important. The important thing is, when the disciples heard the message from the messenger, they also have, very likely, they will have the same expectation as the other sisters, the two sisters, right? They would expect, Lord, now there's a need in Bethany. It's time that we should go and do something about it, right? To help and heal. They have faith in Jesus. They knew that if Jesus was there, Jesus would have been able to do something about it to heal Lazarus. They all, deep down in their heart, they knew about that. That if Jesus was there, Jesus could do something and heal the brothers. That is not unreasonable. Okay? But the unreasonable thing to the disciple was, when Jesus heard the message, he delayed for 2 days. And after the 2 days, Jesus said to the disciples, look, Lazarus is dead. If you were the disciples, if you were right in the midst, okay, what would you think? What would be in your mind? Well, I said, what would be in mind? 2 days ago, we received this message that there is a need in Bethany. You didn't do anything about it. You waited for 2 days, and now you're telling us that Lazarus is dead. If you were the disciple, what do you think? I think it's not unreasonable to be a little bit upset with the Lord Jesus, right? It's not unreasonable for the disciples to be a little bit disappointed based on our human nature. You heard the message 2 days ago, you could have done something about it, you didn't do anything, and now you delay for 2 days and you said Lazarus is dead. So in the disciples' mind, they're very confused. Lord, 2 days ago you knew about it, you didn't do anything, you stayed for 2 days, now you're telling us Lazarus is dead. In their mind, they're very confused. Why would the Lord Jesus do something like that? We would all expect when you get a message to immediately go and do something about it, to help, especially as someone that you love. Lazarus is someone that you love. Why you delay for 2 days? Brother and sister, in our everyday experience, have you ever come across something like that? You pray to the Lord, Lord, I have a need. And the Lord delay and not answer your prayer. Our human nature is we are very confused. How come the Lord doesn't listen to my prayer? How come the Lord let this happen to me? How come the Lord let Lazarus die? Brother and sister, this is not just a story. In our everyday life, in our everyday prayer life, have you ever experienced that you pray to the Lord for something and the Lord didn't answer your prayer, and then you were disappointed? The disciples were. They were confused. So that's why they said, when Jesus said, let's go to Judea. Let's go to him. And Thomas' reaction was, let us also go that we may die with him. I guess it's a very honest expression of the confusion. They were confused. They were also in a way they lose faith. They lose faith. Here they obviously lose faith. So let's die, you know. So do they really mean to go and die with Lazarus? Of course not. But it's just so that show us their confusion, their frustration, their misunderstanding of the Lord Jesus. So it's something that we, human nature, often react in such a way, you know, when we pray to the Lord did not answer us immediately. This is human nature. Let's back up now. We said at the beginning that the disciples have faith in Jesus. Now we realize what kind of faith that they have. Even though they have faith in the Lord Jesus, their faith is very weak. They cannot overcome the obstacle in front of us. They cannot understand why the Lord delayed for 2 days. When they do not understand, they misunderstood Jesus as well. And they thought that Jesus was not listening to prayers. They thought that Jesus was not listening to the request of the two sisters. So they got frustrated. Okay. So even though we know that the disciples have faith in the Lord, people can react in a way that prove us that we don't have that much faith. We are a people of little faith. When we said earlier that Martha and Mary have faith in the Lord, when they sent this message to the Lord Jesus, they hoped that Jesus would come and heal their brother, right? It's correct, okay? Because you can tell from their dialogue with the Lord Jesus. Let's read verse 21. This is what Martha said to the Lord Jesus when Jesus arrived at Bethany. 21, it says, then Martha said to Jesus, Lord,
If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Right? Very obviously. They hoped that Jesus would be there. If the Lord Jesus was there, my brother would not have died. Also, Mary's reaction is the same, exactly the same. Verse 32. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same reaction. Martha and Mary have the same comment. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, in this, do they have faith in the Lord Jesus? Yes, they do have faith. But their faith is based on their own, how should I put it? Their own expectation. You know, when we said we have faith, a lot of times our faith is really based on our expectation, hoping that our expectation will be fulfilled. So the expectation is the Lord Jesus will come, the Lord Jesus will heal their brother. They have faith that Jesus can do that. No question about it. Even after Lazarus died, they still said the same thing to the Lord Jesus. We have faith in you. We have faith that if you were here, my brother would not have died. But you have how should I put it? You let us down. Indirectly. A polite way of saying that, Lord, you let us down. It's a very polite way of saying that, right? Lord, you let us down. Thank you. You know, they are very polite. We as Christians sometimes are very polite. But back down the message is, Lord, you let us down. This is a very serious statement. We dare not make that statement. But deep down in our heart, we are saying, Lord, you let us down. Brother and sister, it's very serious. We dare not say that. But we have the same feeling in our heart. Lord, you let us down. But this is very serious. That's why this story here is to fix that problem. Did the Lord let them down? Did the Lord let you down? When the Lord didn't answer your prayer, does it mean that he let you down? That's very, very important in this story. Okay, brother and sister. You know, as young people, we have a lot of expectations. And it also reflected in our prayers to the Lord. You know, Lord, I'm graduating now. I need a job. Lord, please provide me with a job. Right? So we have expectation that the Lord will provide me with a job, you know. Not only a job, Lord, a good job, you know. Not only a job, any job, but a good job. Right? So we have expectation. Brother and sister, let us put our faith in the proper place, okay? Let us not equate faith to equal our expectation. So often, very often, we expect the Lord to do something according to our expectation, and if it didn't happen, then we lose faith. You know, some people, the worst situation is, if the Lord didn't answer my prayer, I will even forsake the Lord. I won't come to church anymore. I won't read the Bible. I won't pray anymore. Brothers and sisters, is that really faith? Is that really faith? You know, it's something that young people usually have to go through. And old people too, okay? You and me too. We all have to go through that, you know. So often we meet, we run into difficulties, and our faith is tested. Our faith is tested. Okay, let's move on. What does it mean by believing the Lord? What does it mean by having faith in the Lord? What does it mean by trusting the Lord? They are all the same phases, the same terminology. What does it mean by having faith in the Lord? Okay, let's see how the Lord tried to help us. Now, remember in verse 15 that we just read, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Remember this. The Lord said, I wasn't there, not because I couldn't go, but I did this for your sake, that you may believe. Obviously, the Lord Jesus knew that deep down in their heart, there is an unbelief. Okay? The Lord doing this to help them to learn the lesson of believing the Lord. Not only that,
After Martha has explained to the Lord and said that, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died." Praise the Lord. Their dialogue did not just stop there. Because if it stopped there, then it will be very discouraging. But there is a reason why the Lord did what he did. Okay? There is a reason why he did that. But, brother and sister, let me say this before I go on. Because the Lord Jesus, he is our Lord, he is our Master. Remember this. If the Lord doesn't explain to us why he did something, there's nothing wrong with that. The Lord doesn't have to explain to us why he did things. Because he is our Lord, he's our Master. But praise the Lord, he explained to us why he did what he did. And that helped us to believe and to have faith in him. The Lord Jesus said in verse 25, starting from verse 25, it's very important what the Lord said. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Remember, pay attention to this. The Lord Jesus asked them one question. At the end of verse 26, the Lord Jesus asked them one question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? The Lord Jesus Christ is asking you and me today, do you believe this? It's very important. The Lord is not... This question here is very direct question. It's nothing wishy-washy about this. It's nothing ambiguous about this. The Lord Jesus is asking a very direct question. Do you believe this? Yes or no? Very clear question. No ambiguity. There's nothing in this question that you and I don't understand. Do you believe this? It's a very simple question. What do we believe? We ask ourselves, what do we believe? The Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am." He did not say, "I was." He did not say, "I will be." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Brother and sister, this is a present continuous tense. I am, I was, and I will be. Because that is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. When we say we believe, it's not believing that Jesus can do something. When we say we believe, very importantly, we believe who he is. Brother and sister, this is very different from believing what he can do. So often when our belief is believing in what he can do. But here the Lord Jesus tells us, you have to believe who I am. If you believe who I am, then a lot of this difficulty will go away. So believing Jesus is believing who he is. That's very important. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. If you believe that he is the Son of the living God, there's no difficulty that he cannot resolve for you. There's no difficulty that he cannot resolve. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." What does it mean by... Let's put outside resurrection for now, okay? The Lord Jesus said, "I am the life." Now, brother and sister, if a person has no life, then you don't need to talk about believing. You don't talk about anything. If a person has no life, then this whole story is meaningless. When the Lord Jesus said, "I am the life," what he meant is, only in Jesus have life. Because Jesus is life. That's why, if for people that do not believe in Jesus, they don't have life. Maybe you see, I'm a little bit harsh about this. But the reality is, how can you explain this? Jesus said, I am the life. And if you do not have Jesus, do you have life? You don't.
Very obvious, right?
Jesus said, I'm the life. So that's why when people that do not believe in Jesus, they do not have life. Yes, they can still walk, they can still talk, they can do a lot of things, they can even sin, right? Do they have life? No. They don't have life. Even though they can walk, they can talk, they can do a lot of things, they can sin, they don't have life. Because life is only in Jesus. Praise the Lord. We all have Jesus in us. We have the life of Jesus in us. That's why we are called children of God. When we are called children of God, it is a gift from Jesus. We don't have life before. We never have life. But because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, He came into our heart. He became our life. He gave us this eternal life. And let me stretch a little bit. Now that we have this eternal life, brother and sister, we call this eternal life. This is not just a good saying. It's true. The life that we have is eternal life. Because it's eternal, brother and sister, will this life stop? It won't. Because it's eternal. So what does death to our body mean to this eternal life? We said on one hand we have eternal life. Right? We said this life will not die, will not finish, will not end. But then our body will one day come to a stop. Right? Our body, physical body, will come to a stop one day when we get old, right? So what does that in relation to our eternal life? Is it just a good saying to comfort us that we have eternal life when in fact we just die? Now, brother and sister, this is very important that we should get this right. When this body is dead, our life continues in another form. The Lord Jesus gives us a glorious body, okay? So when Christians look at physical death, we don't look at it as something that is bad or sad. It's just a natural thing that our body, our physical body, will corrupt and one day it will just stop functioning. But this life goes on, eternal life. We have eternal life. So let's not be afraid of the physical death. Let's not be afraid. The Lord just changed our physical form into another form. That's all. We continue. We have eternal life. This is not something that is a theory. It's a fact. It's something that we truly believe in. And maybe I will go aside a little bit. You know, in the four Gospels, we know that the Lord Jesus ministered to the people around him for 3.5 years, roughly 3.5 years, right? Right. So during this 3.5 years, the Lord must have met a lot of dead people, right? A lot of people died during the 3.5 years around the Lord Jesus, right? How many people did the Lord actually raise up from the dead? How many people? Only three. Right? Nazareth? And the daughter of one of the officials, and then this son from the widow, right? Three. So you will ask, is the Lord's power only able to raise three people from there? Where in his 3.5 years ministry, he must have encountered a lot of dead people. The Lord only raised up three. So it's not that the Lord cannot raise people up from dead, but the Lord doesn't intervene that much in this natural law. The Lord doesn't intervene. So remember this. Is when the Lord did these three things three times that raised people from dead, obviously there are reasons for doing it, right? Here it's very clear. The Lord did that not because of Nazareth, but because of the people around and the disciples, because we will be going through this story, okay? So you will see that sometimes when we have a brother or sister who are really sick and we pray to the Lord, Sometime, actually not sometime, but always, the Lord didn't listen to our prayer and they die. Because it's natural law that we all one day will die, right? When we die, does it mean the Lord didn't answer our prayer? And that we get discouraged? No, that's not, please don't do that. Because the Lord respects. You know, think about this. This world is full of sorrow and suffering. You think the Lord is delighted to bring a person back to suffering and all this misery? Isn't it better that we depart from all this suffering and misery? Right? You think the Lord is glad to bring someone back to suffer and back into this misery? No. Right? So when we go to a funeral service, we praise the Lord that, you know, the Lord have received our brother or our sister back to heaven. It's a joyful occasion that they can put down, they can put away their suffering and their sorrow in this world and go into eternal joy and eternal happiness and be with the Lord forever. Isn't that even better? So that's why when we face death, that's our feeling. Of course, humanly speaking, we are sad that our brother or our sister has departed from us. They will no longer be able to worship together with us. They will no longer be able to serve the Lord with us. On that side, yes, we are sad. But on the other hand, we are glad that the Lord has put away their sorrow and misery once and for all. And now they are joyful with the Lord, right? So that's how we react to death. I guess it's important that now that we are in this message, we can clarify this. Because, you know, we are people with hope. We are. The Bible explained it to us. We have a hope of glory. We will one day meet the Lord face to face. This is joyful and this is glorious. So, coming back to here, when the Lord said, "I am the light," do you believe that you have life? You have Jesus and you have life. There's no bigger difficulty or challenge or misery than death. No one is able to overcome death. But we know that we have life in us. We have life in us and therefore we overcome death already. We are not afraid of death anymore. Because we have Jesus Christ as our life. Now if you are not afraid of death, then nothing you should be afraid of then, right? Even death you are not afraid of, then what else can you be afraid of? Right? So when the Lord Jesus tell Martha that I am the resurrection and the life, this is to tell the two sisters as well as the disciples. Remember, earlier, we said, when the Lord Jesus, let's go to Judea, the disciples politely say no. Why? They were afraid. Right? When you are stoned, you will die, right? So they, when they face this obstacle, well, we will die if we go. The Lord Jesus said, look, if we have faith, we can overcome even death. So let's not be afraid of being stoned. When the Lord said go, we said, let's go. Let's not politely say no. Okay? So when the Lord said, let's go to Nazareth, he said very clearly, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. And then Thomas immediately said, let's go and die with him. That's a very emotional way of saying that you let us down. But the Lord said, I am the life. If you truly believe that I am the life, then you would not react in such a way. Right? So obviously, in their mind, their faith is very limited and has a lot of what we call caveats. Okay? A lot of caveats. We believe, but, you know, a lot of but, okay, a lot of caveats, okay. So the Lord said, look, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe me, you don't need any caveat. You just believe I am the resurrection and the life. What does it mean by I am the resurrection?
The Lord Jesus explained it to us this way. He said, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Now this statement seems to be very contradictory, right? He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. He may die, and he shall live. So what does it really mean? What Jesus meant was, he was trying to explain to us what resurrection means. When the Lord said, "I am the resurrection," that what he meant was, we can live because he is our life. We can live. This living is based on the Lord Jesus. This living is not because we are not sick. What they are saying is, look, Lazarus is sick. You should come and heal him. Now he's dead. He can no longer live. The Lord Jesus said, no, this is not how you should look at this way. He who believes in me, even though he may die, like Lazarus, he's dead now, right? He's dead. But he shall live. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying that, no, Lazarus is not dead. He's living. His living is not based on his physical mobility. His living is not because he can stand up, he can talk, he can do things. No. He lived because he has life inside of you. This life is the life of the Lord Jesus. When you have Jesus in you, you can live. When you do not have Jesus in you, even though you may appear to be living, but you are not living, you are dead. That's very important. When the Lord Jesus, "I am the resurrection, I am the life," that means we have life and we are living. Life and living goes together. We have life, we can live. If we don't have life, we cannot live. So when people do not have Jesus Christ, they do not have life. Even though they can speak, they can walk, they can talk, they can do a lot of things, they can even sin. We know that they don't have life. They are not living. They are not living. So when the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," he gave us the life, and he also gave us the strength to live. These are two different things. Having life and having the strength to live are two different things. But both are in the Lord Jesus. He said, "I am," put it in another word, "I am the living and I'm the life. You have me as life and you have me as your living." Brother, do you believe me? Do you believe this? This is what Jesus was asking you and me. Do you believe this? The Lord Jesus did not just ask Martha this question. He's asking us, you and me, the same question. Do you believe this? In other words, our belief is something that we can put into our living, put into our everyday life. It's not just a theory. It is not just a belief that we, when we share the gospel, we talk about it. No. In our everyday life, we need the Lord Jesus as our life, and we need Jesus Christ as our living as well. So this is what believing is all about. Believing is not believing that Jesus can do something. No. We should believe who he is and what he has done for us. He is our life and he has already living for us. Because of that, we can live today. It's very important. So that's the message the Lord Jesus warned the disciples and Mary and Martha to learn. And then the Lord Jesus continues to say in verse 26, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." The Lord Jesus, here, right in front of their eyes, is a dead person called Lazarus. But the Lord Jesus said, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Never die. Refer back to what he said. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You know, on the surface, this statement makes a lot of contradiction. But if you understand what the Lord really meant, you see that this is very it's nothing contradictory in it. Nothing contradictory. Yes, the Lord Jesus said, look, our physical body will one day stop working. But that's not the end. Let's not look at just our physical body, our sickness, our death. No, this is not important. If you have Jesus, if you believe Jesus, believe who he is, and believe what he has already done for you, and that become your life, and that become the strength for your everyday living. That is your living.
So this is very important. So let me reiterate this. The Lord Jesus asked this very clear and direct question. Do you believe this? Brother and sister, let us ask ourselves this question too this morning. Do we believe this? Do I believe this? If I truly believe this, then our prayers will be very different. So often our prayer is just coming to the Lord and try to beg that the Lord will do something for us, thinking that the Lord is very a mean person, that only when we diligently pray very hard, and the Lord will give us a little bit of His grace. No, brother and sister, the Lord is our life and He is our living. He gives Himself to us. So if we know, if we believe, truly believe this, our prayer life will be very different. Our service in the church will be very, very different. So often when we serve the Lord, we only pay attention to the task that we are doing. We forgot that the Lord, He is our resurrection and He is our life. He is our living. Because of Him, we can live. Because of Him, we can serve. We are not, when we serve the Lord, we are not doing tasks. We are actually living. Our living is a living of service to the Lord. That's very important. It becomes something natural. Like when you live, when you are living, you breathe, right? Your heart pumps. Those are very natural. So when we have life in us, when we are living, and then we're serving the Lord, become very natural. Become very natural. Part of living is serving the Lord. So praise the Lord that give us this story in such detail that we can learn from it. You know, so often we are like the disciples, we are like Martha and Mary, and thinking that, you know, yes, we believe in the Lord, but only if the Lord was here. You know, brother and sister, there is another story in the book of John. Let me mention this to contrast this story, okay? At the tail end of chapter 4, Jesus was in Galilee area. There was a person, the Bible says, a nobleman, his son was sick in the city of Capernaum. So the Bible tells us that this nobleman realized that Jesus was in Judea and his son was sick. So he went all the way to see Jesus, and he asked Jesus, "Lord, please come help us. My son is sick. Please come with me to Capernaum. My son is sick." So you see that this nobleman's reaction is identical to the reaction of Mary and Martha and the disciple. Identical. Jesus was at one place, there's a need in another place. So the nobleman came to Jesus and said, "Lord, please come with me to heal my son. My son is very sick." Same identical reaction. But the result is very different. So the Lord said, the Lord said to this woman, chapter 4 of, you don't have to turn to it, okay. So Jesus said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Verse 29, chapter 4. So he said, "Sir, come down before my son dies." Very similar reaction, right? The Lord Jesus said, in verse 50, Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." The Bible said, "So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way." Now this is very different, right? Did the Lord went to Capernaum with the nobleman to heal his son? No, the Lord didn't go, right? Did the Lord heal his son? Yes, the Lord did, right? Does it require the Lord Jesus to be at the sick person's bedside before the Lord can heal him? No, right?
But in the mind of Martha and Mary and the disciples, they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, so that's their caveat, right? My brother would not have died. So their faith, yes, they believe in the Lord, but they put a lot of caveat, okay, in there. So they believe that if the Lord had been here, then my brother would not have died. But what they didn't know was, the Lord doesn't have to be there to heal their brother. That is what they are missing. In other words, they expect the Lord to do what they want the Lord to do. They expect the Lord to come to Bethany to heal their son, to their brother. But when the Lord didn't come, they were confused. I think we have the same similar. I think very often we have the same similar mentality when we pray to the Lord, you give me this job. You know, this is a good job. And when the Lord didn't answer your prayer, you didn't get the job. You get frustrated. You said, why would the Lord let me down? You know, when we say we have faith, we put our Lord in a box and we hope that the Lord will do exactly what we ask Him to do. You know, come to think of it, is He the Lord or am I the Lord? If the Lord has to listen to me, then I am the Lord and He's not the Lord. Right? So often we think that, look, the Lord has to do things according to my way. Very often we think that, you know, we fall into that trap. But this story tells us, look, when we have faith in the Lord, our faith is who He is and what He has done for us. If He is our life, He is our living, then we trust Him. No matter how things will turn out, we still trust Him. When our very close friend or relative is dying, we pray the Lord will heal him, and if the Lord allow him or her to die, we still believe that. There's a reason why the Lord did this. The Lord doesn't have to account to us why He did certain things. Because He's the Lord. Right? Why has He explained to us why He do things, right? He doesn't have to. So, brother and sister, just one last thing. When in Ruth 4, the Lord Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The Lord Jesus, when He see this challenge or this difficulty in front of Him, He did not just see the difficulty. He see way beyond that. He see the glory of the Lord. He see that this is an opportunity that God will glorify His Son. Brother and sister, in our everyday life, we run into difficulties too. Do you see difficulties as just difficulties? Or you see it as a way that God will show forth His glory and His power to you? We always try to pray that things will just go away. The difficulty will go away. The challenge will go away. And then we are happy. We don't see the Lord Jesus. Even after He answered our prayer, we forget about the Lord. You know, the Lord is telling us that, look, it is for the glory of God. Not only when we face difficulties, not only is a test on our faith, it also a way to show forth the glory of the Lord. To manifest His glory and His power to you and me. Let's not be so self-centered. It's only my difficulty, my problem. No, God will use those difficulty and problem to show forth His glory and His power. Let's turn our eyes around. Let's not just concentrate on the problem or the difficulty. Look up to the Lord Jesus. Through those difficulties and problem, you can see the glory and the power of the Lord. Never be so self-centered. Let's be God-centered. The Lord Jesus Christ is the center of our life because He is our life. And He's our living. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for this simple message. Lord, we admit that often we forget about this. And when we face difficulties and problems, we've forgotten about you. Lord, I pray that you will use difficulties and problems to strengthen our faith and also allow us to see who you are and what you have done for us. That our faith is not based on our problem being solved. Our faith is based on who you are and what you have done for us. O Lord Jesus, I pray that you will keep these words in our hearts. Help us to meditate on them. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.